Let me invite you to stand and take your Bibles and repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day.
And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day.
I want God's will to be done in my life.
I want God's will to be done in my life.
I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, we approach your throne of grace again with thankfulness in our hearts. Lord, it's our desire to know you better. It is our desire to be like Jesus. We ask now, Lord, that our worship would be like a sweet-smelling fragrance, and that you would be well pleased because of our efforts. We ask, Father, that you would go with us just now. Help us to forget about the mundane things of this whole earth, and that we would focus on you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My sermon title this morning, The Rest of the Christmas Story. The Rest of the Christmas Story. You know, as a boy growing up in Newfoundland, Canada, one of the most exciting times of the year had to be Christmas time, or the winter time. We looked forward to the time when winter was going to come. That was the time of the year that... Now, let me also preface this by saying that when we grew up, we had no electricity, no running water, no automobiles, and in order to get around, we either did it by boat or with a horse and buggy, and in the winter time, it was a sled. And I remember, you know, the first snow, it was always so excited to have my dad, you know, put the harness on the horse and get the sled out, and Mom would have some feather pillows that we would put on the seat and we would sit on. She always had a blanket that we could throw over our laps, and us four boys, we would huddle together in the back seat. Mom and Dad would be there on the front, and you know, when that horse would go, and there are these bills, you know, Christmas time, they would decorate it. My mom used to decorate the house. We would go out with the horse and sled, find a tree. You know, very, very traditional. It was an exciting time. And of course, growing up in the Episcopalian Church, you know, tradition was that, you know, we went to church. But basically, our church going at that particular time was Christmas, Easter, death, funeral, you know, just on very special occasions. And of course, the Christmas season was not as commercialized as it is today. We had no stores that you could go and purchase toys from, although we had the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and we had the Eaton's catalog in Canada. And, of course, we always put the catalog to good use. Not only, would we spend hours, you know, just turning these pages and looking at these different things, and we were wondering, you know, who in the world, would purchase things like this. We had some of these things we had absolutely no use for, or there were things that was run by electricity. What could we do with it? But usually, you know, if it was toys, my dad would make them. You know, I remember him. He would find a nice round tree of hardwood, you know, birch or one of the hardwood trees, and he would cut off these trees and make wheels out of that tree. Put a metal band around it so the wood wouldn't come apart. He would make wheelbarrows, and he would make trucks and wagons for us. And it was an exciting time. They would take time to paint these things. And, you know, it seems like we had a lot more time back in these days. But today, Christmas has become so commercialized that we forget all about the real meaning of Christmas. And even within the Christian church, I think sometimes we only tend to put the real emphasis on the birth of our Savior. You know, from when Thanksgiving ends up until New Year's, that's our focus on, really, it's on the birth of Christ. But let me ask you a couple of questions this morning as I begin. The first question, is the story about Jesus coming as a baby in Bethlehem's manger the only cause for our celebration? Is the Christmas story the end of the story? Or is the birth of Christ an elaborate creation of our own desperate imaginations? Or is it God's exact provision for our need? What about the ministry of Christ? Is death, is ascension, the second coming of Christ? This morning, I want to answer these questions. I want us to open our Bibles. I'm going to introduce you to six individuals that you're already acquainted with. Yes, seven individuals. These seven individuals give different testimonies as to why the Son of God came into this world. These witnesses are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, and we ourselves. You see, the Bible is God's inspired book, and therefore it's a very powerful witness to its own truthfulness. So let me look at the reasons for the Christmas season with you this morning and share with you the rest of the story. The rest of the story concerns Christ and His ministry. It's a wonderful story when we read about Joseph and Mary and, you know, the time spent in the stable, the magi, the wise men coming from the east. Oftentimes, when you see in the front of churches this time of the year, you see, the creche is set up. They have baby Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. You have the camels and the sheep. You have the shepherds, the three wise men. Now, I want to tell you, folks, that's not biblical. It's traditional, but it's not biblical. When Jesus was born in the stable, yes, the shepherds came, but the wise men didn't come till some time later. He was a young boy now, already growing, maybe 2 years of age. When the wise men came, or the magi came, they met Jesus and Mary in a house, not in the stable. So along with the Christmas season, there's much tradition that's mixed up with it, and it makes for a delightful time, but it really does not a whole lot for our relationship with our Creator. So I want to open up God's Word and look at the broader meaning of Christmas. One of the reasons that Jesus came was to be a ransom for many. It was in our Sabbath school lesson this morning. Turn in your Bibles to me, or open your Bibles to Mark's Gospel. And this was one of the texts from our Sabbath school lesson. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." When we talk about the Christmas season, or we put emphasis on the Christmas season, we put very little emphasis on the fact that He was willing to become a ransom for us. You see, the reason we need a ransom to be paid for us is that we have sold ourselves into sin, and sin separates, it alienates us from a holy God. So let me share present truth. Let me share good news with you this morning. When Jesus gave us life as a ransom, our slave masters, Satan, sin, and death, had to give up their claim on us. That's good news, isn't it? The result now, we can be adopted into the family of God. You see, sin separates us from God. There's a great chasm that was created as a result of sin. But Jesus came and died. He paid the penalty for sin. And now we can be adopted back into the family. But it all has to do with choices that we make. We choose to accept Him and the sacrifice that He made on our behalf, or we choose not to. Let's turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians this time. We're talking about now when this ransom was made, what has been provided for us to be adopted now into the family of God. I like that song that Gene sings now and again. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of God's sons." In the King James Version, it says that we might receive the adoption as sons. In other words, the redemption or the ransom frees us to be a part of God's family. You see, back there in the Garden of Eden, man sold himself into slavery. He was subject to death, but God pays a ransom and He buys us back from the power of the devil and Satan. And we can live throughout the eternal ages. You know, Sister Johnson spoke about in our Sabbath school lesson this morning, talked about eternity. It's so hard to get to wrap your mind around how long eternity is. Talking about the Godhead, He has no beginning and no end. And our hope is not that we are going to live 60, 70, 99 years. Sister Turner, Mary's mom, would have been 99 years young at Christmas time. But folks, what God promises us is something much more than 99 years. He promises us eternity. What a wonderful gift. You see, to pay the ransom, Jesus had to become human so that He could suffer and die in our place, because we were subject to death. The wages of sin is death, and we were sinners. We deserved to die. But Jesus came, paid the ransom by dying in our place. That's a much more broader meaning of Christmas than just the Magi or the angels. Now, it excites me when I think about that night when Jesus was born out there in the fields, the shepherds and the angels came and they sang. It had to be exciting for these shepherds to hear these angels give the message and go back and find the baby Jesus, find the Messiah. But it's even to me, it's much more exciting for me to know that He's coming again. But not this time as a baby in Bethlehem's manger. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when He comes, He's not going to give me a homemade wheelbarrow. He's going to give me eternal life. That's good stuff, isn't it? Folks, that's present. That's present truth. Hebrews 2:14 talking about this ransom, talking about us, being adopted, talking about what, the consequences of death. Hebrews 2:14 puts it this way: inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself, talking about Christ, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him. That's the devil who had the power of death. In other words, the reason Christ took upon himself human flesh, the reason Christ was born in Bethlehem, he did it that he might communicate to us the love of the Father and expose Satan for whom he is. In John 8:44, Christ speaking of Satan, he says, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there was no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of it. Talking about the devil. Now let me go back and reiterate this question again. Is the birth of Christ an elaborate creation of some desperate human's imagination? Or is it God's exact provision for our need? Folks, I would like to submit to you, from the beginning, when God created us, He called the Godhead came together, the council took place. And he says, let us make man in our image. And it was decided then that there was some risk involved, because along with this beautiful gift, the freedom to choose, mankind could choose not to accept God's way, but choose another way. Already, Evan had experienced someone choosing to do something different. Lucifer himself, who stood at the right hand or on one side of the Father, Jesus was on one side and Lucifer was on the other. Here was someone who was in the very presence of God, but chose to do something differently. And you read about it, it just boggles your mind. No doubt that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus appealed to him to change his mind, not to do this thing. But yet, he determined that he would be like the Most High. He would be like God. He would be God. And when they talked about creating mankind, no doubt they had to deal with this matter, but they took the risk. They would create man in their image. He gave us that wonderful gift to choose. To flush out this Christmas story. Christmas means much more than him being a birth in Bethlehem's manger. It has to do with the call for sinners to repent. In Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. This still is... as something to do with the Christmas story and what Jesus was all about. He came to call sinners to repentance. Luke 5, verses 31 and 32. Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, he came. The reason that you are sitting here this morning is because the Holy Spirit prompted you. Christ spoke to your hearts and you responded. You decided that you choose him. You choose him. And like Jesus, it is our ministry to call sinners to repentance. We have been called to prepare a world for Jesus to come. Like John the Baptist, he announced the coming of Messiah in Bethlehem's manger. We are to announce that Jesus will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As Jesus come? Most certainly. I believe it because the Bible tells me so. History tells me that there was a man named Jesus came, and he was born in Bethlehem, died on a cruel cross. Jesus, the Christmas story, our only hope. Like Jesus, our ministry is to call sinners to repentance. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation," speaking specifically to you now. He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." This is what Christmas is all about. It's God's exact provision for our needs. What a gift! What a gift! Jesus came to give sight to the morally blind. In John 9:39, and Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." Blind to the things of this old world. John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. The Christmas story is not just about a baby in Bethlehem. It's about ministry. And His ministry wasn't only about the ransom. His ministry wasn't only about preaching and teaching and healing the sick. His ministry was about open the blind eyes. Opening the our minds, that we might be able to see the truth and walk in it. What an appropriate gift. Folks, I want to tell you, I appreciate socks and underwear and t-shirts at Christmas time, but it has no comparison to the gifts that Christ gives, does it? Folks, the first pair of socks I had is wore out, long gone. But the gifts that God offers will last throughout eternity. How about this one? He came to divide households. Listen to this text, Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 36. "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those in his own household." Now, folks, I want to tell you, first when I read that text, I struggled with it. But the point of the text is not that God loves division and strife. The point of the text is that God says, when you follow me, when you accept me, it will create division. You see, if you cut your ties with the world and you give allegiance to Jesus, then it seems like the world is against you. Another point to be made is this: when a person accepts Christ and is given new sight, something radically happens within him or her. They begin to see things differently now. They begin to see with new sight. They now choose to serve the Master, a new Master, and some in the family are threatened and tension develops. You know, when I became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, when I was studying to become a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I was so excited about being baptized. Now, when in the Episcopalian church, they don't baptize you by immersion. They baptize you by sprinkling some water on you. You know, they hold the baby up and sprinkle some water on you. And I was so excited about understanding what God's will was for my life. And now I was going to be baptized, and I was inviting everybody to come to my baptism. I invited my dad, my mom, my family to come. But my dad wasn't pleased. My dad says, "The day that you are baptized, boy, that's the day that I will be there with my shotgun and I'll shoot you and that preacher." Now you talk about tension. Folks, when we decide that we are going to follow Jesus, it creates tension in families. Now, I'm so glad that my dad changed his mind. He did not show up that day that I was baptized. I told the preacher about it, what my dad said. And he was very courageous, young fellow. "Well," he says, "if I'm going to die, I'll be about my Father's business. That's what Jesus said, and that's what I want to do." So he says, "We're going to have a baptism." And we were baptized. But because I was baptized, it did something. It caused an estrangement between me and my dad for a number of years. The only thing that kept us in any proximity as a father or a son is that we had a boy that my dad loved so very much. And he would call, or we would call. He couldn't care less what I was doing or what was happening to me or Donna, but what was happening to Trevor? How was Trevor? But you know, over the years, my dad changed his mind, and now we are very close. Every week when we call, he wants to know how we are doing, how Donna is doing, how the boys are doing. My dad is not a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, but my dad, in his own way, he loves Jesus. And all that I can say is that I'm glad that he's the judge. He's going to work it. He's going to work it out. See, the need for salvation implies that there is danger that we need to be saved from. The danger is sin, death, and the devil. But there's something else that's more dangerous than sin, or than Satan, sin, and the devil. It's the danger of the condemnation of God. If God is for us, then sin, death, and the devil will fail to destroy us. But if God is against us, nothing can save us. You see, Jesus is God's way of being for us. If we believe. Let me read this text. In John 3:17-18, it says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, another wonderful gift from Jesus is the fact that He saves us from divine condemnation. He saves us from divine condemnation. The last part of the text reads, "He who believes is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already." And the person who does not believe will experience what? The hellfire. So I am glad that Jesus is on my side. What a wonderful gift. This is good stuff. As I said earlier, Jesus came to give us eternal life, and what a gift. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Christmas means that God always sends the very best. How about the gift of repentance? How about the gift of forgiveness? How about the gift of laughter? The gift of companionship? The gift of families? The gift of eternal life? Is there any gift that the merchants of misery push upon us? Or is there any of these gifts that can compare with the gifts that God has given us? Oh, folks, let me encourage you to trust Jesus and receive this new life. A life that will magnify our Heavenly Father, and it will also magnify the Son. And along with these gifts I just mentioned, there's one more marvelous gift. It's the gift of God's grace. Grace. God's grace, God's marvelous grace. Folks, when I look at what's happening in the world, you know, we see, you know, drug dealers and murderers and all kinds of terrible things happen out there. But there go I, but by the grace of God is marvelous grace. Christmas. Christmas is a wonderful time of the year, but for Christians, we should experience that joy. We should experience these gifts all through the year. You know, Don and I, and we know that Christmas is not on December. You know, Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. We don't wait till Christmas to buy our sons or our grandchildren gifts. Folks, I buy them gifts anytime that I feel like it, because I want to see the joy in their hearts. Folks, when Jesus came, He has blessed us with some of the most marvelous, marvelous gifts that humanity might experience. And to use this marvelous gift in such a way to share your life with others just keeps perpetuating the gifts that God has given us. Folks, that seventh witness is me. It's you. Because we can take that Christmas story and we can share it not only in the context of December 25, but we can share that joy the whole year. May God bless us, is my desire and my prayer, as we experience the gifts that just keep on giving. Amen. Let us close.